it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast. I'm Musa Kwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I am all good, Musa Kwonga. Thanks very much. How are you?
I'm good. That's a lie. So I was traveling today and the plane, there was so much ice on the planes on the runway that I was on the runway for just shy of 3 hours.
Oof.
Which is the longest I've ever been on a runway. So it's something about the sudden temperature shift. So yeah. Not ideal, but you know, we manage, we persevere. And can I say, it was a cold start to the evening, but it definitely heated up.
I'm so glad you went there because I was literally going to say, you came home to the Champions League, the warm embrace.
Listen.
It wasn't even a warm embrace. It was like the Champions League this week was like walking home with the kitchen on fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a load of friends looking at pointing and laughing, chucking more gasoline on it.
Utterly wild.
Well, I'm excited to talk about it because it was a really, really fun match day for the Champions League. Before we get onto it though, a quick bit of admin. If you don't follow Stadio on Instagram, Stadio Football is our Instagram page. Keep an eye on Friday night because I'll be in Hamburg Friday.
You will.
At St. Pauli for the derby. So, much like we did for the Dortmund Bayern game, we'll post a load of stuff on the Stadio Instagram from the game. Try and put you in the cauldron.
In the mix, exactly. Roving reporter.
And
Stadio Ultra.
If you want to go to stadio.football, sign up for the newsletter because it's back, baby.
It is.
And it's actually going to stay back.
It's back for good.
It's going to probably go out every fortnight. But if you sign up, stadio.football, you can sign up there and the first one will go out Monday or Tuesday next week. And it's been a long time coming, but the first one back will explain a little bit as to why, I think. Thanks to everyone who's tagging us in their Spotify Wrapped.
Oh, wow.
It's very kind.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And you should all be looking for a higher quality of podcast. I think so. Congratulations, everyone. You just told on yourselves.
They're stuck with us then. they knew what this was.
Oh, we're kidding. It's really, really lovely.
I was actually quite moved when I saw the range of countries that people were listening to it and the fact that people were like going, oh, yeah, check out this. Like, what was really nice. And thank you to everyone who has spread the word because what was really lovely was that people were going, oh, like, I've checked this out. Like, have a look, which is always what you want, right?
Mm.
So yeah,
it's really lovely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks everyone.
Really appreciate that.
And if you want to do a little bit more work for us,
oh god,
if you'd like to leave us a rating and a review, that'd be very, very kind indeed.
Yeah, that also that stuff really helps. It already helps.
Yeah, it really helps. But yeah, thanks to everyone who's tagging us in those. It's very lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
You're all bloody kind.
Good humans.
Yeah. Good humans. All right, let's go into Champions League because we've got so much to talk through.
Yes.
Let's do it.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
We're recording this Wednesday night, right? So should we do Wednesday's games first?
Yes, we have to.
Okay, should we begin in hell?
Self-described hell. Self-described. What's more 1990s than a 3-0 draw against Galatasaray?
In Istanbul. I mean, like, what? It's perfect. It's just, it's so perfect.
Look into our veins.
An evening that started very much almost like a continuation of the Everton result, I suppose.
All the evenings just start with a Garnacho banger.
Yeah, exactly right. Garnacho banger to open the scoring, then a Bruno Fernandes even more of a banger.
Yeah.
After what, 17 minutes? And it just looked like United were in total control.
Oh, where have we seen that before? Yes, absolutely. It did. But Galatasaray, credit to them, they've shown us some really, I mean, that they were brilliant against Bayern for some stretches in the home game. They deserved more from that.
Mm.
Icardi, I've got to say, got a hand at him. That is a man that loves that stage. Like he is, Icardi and Galatasaray are such a good fit. And the resilience, the thing about Galatasaray I really enjoy, and you know, to your point, he made a beautiful finish for a goal that was, as you rightly called it, spiritually offside.
It was so spiritually onside. It was basically literally onside.
How gorgeous was that first touch?
I know. And do you know what though? It was really interesting. I think after that, he really struggled to make much of a mark in the game. Especially in the second half, I think he had a couple of like really wayward touches, a couple of really wayward passes. And I actually think he didn't have the greatest second half.
It's the crowning moment. Yeah, because a goal like that, it demoralizes you, right? Because I think he's still stuck in that parallel universe where he gets his crowning glory. And he was brilliant in the previous game against United. He's actually a really good group, to be honest, Icardi. And it's so strange to say this, but I think I enjoy watching him at Galatasaray more than I've enjoyed watching him at previous clubs. He fits it so well.
Well, I think that's largely down to this group that they've assembled at Galatasaray. Mm. And it's just, it resembles, I mean, I think I even jokingly said the only thing it's missing is Jose Mourinho. Because it's just real, like, a point to prove 11.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
It really does remind me a little bit of that Roma side, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, United were two up and cruising.
Right.
And then we had the first Hakim Ziyech goal.
The error with positioning.
And the first Andre Onana error. For some reason, he decides to take two little hops to his left.
Yes.
And that basically just completely opens that side of the wall, that side of the goal that's not guarded by the wall.
Right.
And it doesn't even go anywhere near the corner, really.
There was some strange positioning this match day, but that was the strangest of all. And the sad thing for Onana is it looked like he was actually turning his form around.
Mm.
The Everton game, you know, there was talk of, yeah, actually, like he's put together this good stretch and a form, and the Everton game felt like a kind of milestone in terms of authoritative, commanding. The problem that Onana has now, and you know, the second error was even worse. The problem Onana has is that he's so far now from his peak that people are looking, going, I'm not even sure if that peak existed.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And that there's the way that like he's managed his whole career at United on and off the field. I think too much visibility, like too much talking, putting yourself out there when the club needed a kind of focal point for resentment, and he became that. Not taking himself out of circulation, not giving himself room to recuperate and recover. But the problem with him is I see a really big fragility of confidence. And the problem is if you're conceding goals like he did, this is one of the things, when you are giving away goals cheaply, when you're scoring goals of the quality of United scoring, right? You're not scoring goals that come easily. Those aren't goals that are easy to construct. It's not like 6-7 passing move, square tap it. Although they have scored that goal a couple of times this year, to be fair to United. They play some good stuff.
Mm.
But United are making such hard work of scoring goals. And then to concede them so cheaply, it's demoralising.
I mean, goalkeepers have been moving a little strangely over the last week. Point where I actually Googled whether Mercury was in retrograde. Because I wonder if it actually affects goalkeepers more than outfield players.
Goalkeeping horoscopes, yeah.
It turns out we've got 2 weeks. Two weeks, so maybe it's just the threat skewing goalkeepers' perception a little bit.
Maybe it's because goalkeepers, I suppose, they're more load bearing than ever before, and they're expected to do a variety of jobs, and for them to be excellent at all those jobs is maybe asking a lot. I don't know. Maybe that's just letting Arnaud off the hook to an extent. I also do, I feel like there's to an extent, I feel like the job is, it's a big job, the Onana one, being goal for Manchester United. Like,
oh my God.
Look, yeah. I know, look, don't get me wrong, Inter are a huge club and he took them to a Champions League final and he was brilliant in that final. I also think it's fair to say that United at this particular point in their history, with the expectation, it's just a lot to ask.
And I mean, we saw the two sides of Andre Onana tonight, though, because we saw the two errors for the goals. We'll talk about the second one shortly. But then we also saw that little pirouette just inside his own half and then sprayed a ball out to the right-hand side. And it was just like, it was like watching Pirlo.
And that's who he is. That's also who he is. Yeah.
The McTominay goal, which was really good, restoring United's two-goal lead. And then the second ZH one.
That's the one. That's unfortunate. That's, I think you can almost, the goal, the first one, you can say it went through traffic. You can almost go like, you can make the case for.
That'd be very generous.
It would be generous, but if it's the only mistake he'd made and they get away with the 3-1, then you're fine. But this one was.
Yeah, player jumps right in front of him. I can't remember who it was. Mm. I'd be more inclined to give him a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt on the second one, but I still think both are really, really bad errors.
This is the problem. If they're both on your, and it adds to a narrative, it adds to a downward trend, and I think it's very hard for him to come back from this, I would say.
Do you think it's really though? Because I just think this is just what you're going to get. I don't think it's necessarily a downward trend, and I don't necessarily think it's something that he won't come back from. I just think that this is now accepted as what you are going to get with Andre Onana. At Manchester United.
I don't think that's good enough.
Because I just don't think I think we've talked about this before, but I just don't think they defend in the same way that Inter do.
No, they don't.
And he's...
Few do, to be honest.
But they've also had a lot of turnover in that back four
this
season. You know, if you think Luke Shaw's back there, but they've also had multiple centre-back pairings. They've rarely fielded a full-strength back four that he's had to work with this season.
Yeah. I mean, I hope they retain patience.
Mm.
I'm concerned if he'll ever establish the consistency that he's capable of at this club. That's, I suppose, what I'm saying. I'm just concerned about it. I mean, he's a resilient dude and I hope he figures it out, but I'm worried at this point. And Galatasaray coming in, I mean, their final goal was a beauty.
Oh my God.
That no one can, look, you could put three goalkeepers in that goal. I'm not sure they're stopping it. The angle of that strike was
so good from Kerim Aktürkoğlu.
Stunning.
An assist from Ziyech as well.
Ziyech's in his bag.
To be fair, the first touch to bring it under control was so good from Ziyech's pass.
Dude.
It's a gorgeous goal.
And they got it with 20 minutes to go. So actually, I don't know why this Champions League match day was in such a hurry. We're going to find out years from now that it was like running late for its gate for a holiday.
Mm.
You know, like you think your flight's going from gate 27, all of a sudden it gets like shifted to 76 and you have to leg it. It felt like this match day was legging it for like its final final call.
I mean, a draw for Manchester United, it doesn't really do them any favours, especially because Copenhagen drew in Munich.
Mm.
So let's maybe talk about that game very, very quickly, because it was the first time that Bayern haven't scored. It ended a run of them scoring in home Champions League games, which was like 26 games on the bounce.
Wild.
Rudy Baraji almost gave Copenhagen the lead. There was a mega double save from Manuel Neuer in this game as well. And then right at the end, a penalty awarded for handball for Bayern, which was overruled by VAR. And I think probably correctly.
I think that's how
you'd like to see the law implemented.
Definitely.
Kane
was a fierce advocate for it, of course. But
oh, well, yeah, because he knew he was getting the ball. That's why.
It's all over that.
So it means that obviously Bayern were already through. They were definitely top of the group anyway. They are on 13 points. They go to Manchester United on the final match day.
Mm.
Copenhagen host Galatasaray in what will essentially be a straight shootout for second place. So whoever wins that game will finish second in the group. And then if Manchester United lose to Bayern, they'll be out of Europe altogether. So
that is not a desirable outcome.
I'm kind of semi-tempted to save the proper analysis for when we know exactly what's going on, because I feel like this has been a tricky group, but I don't think it's been that tricky that to. I don't think it's been a finishing bottom of the group kind of group.
I agree.
Do you know what I'm thinking back now to late this afternoon when people said that it might be called off?
Right.
I'm just glad it wasn't, because that was a great game.
Absolute banger.
Speaking of great games, let's go to Group B.
Yes.
Sevilla 2, PSV 3.
What a game.
Talking
what?
About being 2-0 up and cruising.
Yes.
The theme of the evening. Sevilla 2-0 up and cruising. Sergio Ramos was the first. They had a disallowed goal. They had a disallowed second due to a handball in the build-up.
Yeah. Which and, I think was fair.
Yeah. And Nesri hit the post. And then scored the second just after half time. And if it had stayed like that, Arsenal would have gone through top, I think, before a ball had even been kicked. And then Lucas Campos gets a second yellow for a weird kind of, it's almost like, well, he injured himself in the process. It looked quite nasty because it was like he almost like his foot got caught in the turf, took a guy out, got a second yellow, and then PSV start the comeback with the Saibari volley. If you haven't seen this goal, just go watch it. Cross comes in and Saibari's kind of got his like back to goal and the ball comes. The ball comes in from his right, so like the PSV left, and he just kind of like hooks it over his own shoulder.
It's a stunning finish.
Into the far corner.
You know, there's that kind of player like Serdan Shaqiri or whatever. There's players who like, they didn't dominate, but when they were on their game, they would score a goal like that. They would like, their ceiling was that kind of acrobatic finish, and it was like that. It was the kind of goal you like, or like a Alvaro Recoba type finish.
I was going to say, it actually reminded me very much of a Robin van Persie finish.
Yeah. Actually, or Giroud. That level where the kind of player who...
I think it was a bit too smooth for Giroud. Giroud would have like fallen back or like on his belly and kind of like looked up with his tongue out or something. Do you know what I mean? It would have been...
No, it's a very van Persie goal. Gorgeous finish, like the angle up and across.
So good.
So clean. And then the equaliser, Gudelj, does it...
Oh no! I'm pretty sure I scored an own goal like this.
What's that movie Twister where like everything just gets? He looked like he got caught in a twister.
it's just Goodale's and a cow, yeah, just like Goodale's flying just around
the, to the goal. God bless
and
him.
Like, tornado.
I love Goodale. He's a fantastic player, but just the odds are against him. Momentum is against him. So the equaliser comes, and the winner.
Hey, listen, this will go down well with the US-based Ringer fans for sure.
Yeah, that's a gorgeous counter, that.
Ricardo Pepi in stoppage time.
Listen. Showing up late like Clint Eastwood in Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Deep, deep, deep in stoppage time. Glorious winner on the counter. And PSV snuck it and put Sevilla out of the Champions League. What a game. There were like four or five games that summed up this match day, to be honest. But this was definitely one of them. This is centerpiece.
A nice little red card for Fernando right at the end of the game as well. Even though he was off the pitch, just to seal it. Just a little bit of like,
oh no!
You know when someone's about to serve you a dish and they're like, hang on, and it's just one bit of garnish needs to go on there. They're like, there you go. That was basically what that red card was.
That was someone gives you the cocktail and just sets fire to it. So no, sorry. All it's missing is a blue flame. Yeah.
So that meant Arsenal had to beat Lens at home.
They made hard work of it.
To secure a top spot. 5-0 at half time.
Yes.
And when the fourth went in, the message I put in the Writers House group was, this is going to end up 4-3. I just know it. And then when the fifth went in, I just put 5-3.
Yes. So scarred by experience.
And do you know what? I'm just glad that it didn't go that way.
You're still scarred by the 4-4 draw, aren't you, at St. James's Park?
I'd actually forgotten about it until that moment, but thanks, mate.
Sorry.
2-2 for Kai Havertz, or 3-4 if you include the international break.
Which we do. And I think as well, to mention here, just the all-round performance.
He had a real impact when he came on against Brentford. We talked about this, but I know that Lons, you know, a 6-0 scoreline, 5-0 at half time.
You have to take credit where it's due. Look, here's the thing. The reason I think this is significant for Arsenal is this is what it looks like when it clicks.
Yep.
Put it this way, if Man City beat Lons 6-0, people would be like, they wouldn't be like, oh, it's Lons. They'd be like, yeah, that's what Man City do. That's the difference.
The discourse would be the Champions League is broken.
Yes. Absolutely. And also, they'd look at that result and be like, oh, look, they've overwhelmed them with resources, which would be, I think, fair, actually. But
also
I think
fair in this case. Yeah.
Fair in this case. And also, you look at the fact, six different scorers. You had Havertz scoring after 13, that unleashed, four goals in 14 minutes. And just the way that he played with guile, I want to just give him his credit here because he's been criticised so much, but his instincts for the opener, loved it, watching the ball into the box, seeing the gap, goes into space, which is his strength. And the build-up play for the second, the finish as well by Gabriel Jesus was...
So good.
Dude, the way he rolled that, it was actually like very similar to one of Ian's finishes, funnily enough. Martinelli just cutting from the flank. I mean, just a gorgeous player. Odegaard, Jorginho.
You missed the Saka goal.
Yes, I did miss the
Why are you doing Bukayo like that, man?
Bukayo, you know what I'm taking for granted? It's like an Alfred Hitchcock thriller. You know, they're just always good. You can't fault them.
The most amazing thing in this game, by the way, was the fact that he actually got taken off. I was just like, wow. I was on my knees, just like being like, thank you, Lord. Like,
praise be.
I'm not a religious man, but I was just like, thank you.
How did you feel about this? Actually, how did you feel about this game from a...
I think Arsenal just looked very sharp.
It did, didn't they?
Very, very sharp and made it very exciting so that it was very boring. There was a possession stat came up deep into the second half, which was 50-50.
Wow.
Because the game was just so dead that they just literally kind of just managed it in the second half. But yeah, circling back to Kai Havertz a little bit, because there's still a long way to go before I think he fully convinces everyone. But I feel like you and I have really gone to bat for him since he's, since he's been there. Like, especially in group chats. Because we saw so much of him at Leverkusen and we know the player that he can be. Yes. And I just think for the kind of player that he is and the kind of personality he is, you know, he is very different to Declan Rice in the sense that Declan Rice will go in and be an alpha and be the kind of like life of the dressing room and talk and be, you know, all action. And Havertz is the perfect kind of contrast to that.
Yeah.
And you can't have, I think I said this before, like you can't have three players that are ball dominant and all action in a midfield. You have to have like pieces that complement each other.
Mm.
And I think that what Kai Havertz can do for Arsenal is, I mean, the kind of thing that he's done in the last two games, really. Find space, float around, link play really well. I think the more confident he gets in this setup, the more that you'll see him use his physicality, especially in the middle of the park.
Mm.
And because he's a big dude.
Yeah.
And I think also just still a young guy. He's only just recently turned 24, I think. And I think don't underestimate how... I mean, there are a load of people who have left Chelsea in the last couple of years who probably all have a WhatsApp group. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I actually think that he was never playing quite as bad as people were making out just because he had a couple of high profile misses or a body language thing, which I never really...
All I would say is look how popular he is. You look at where they celebrate with him.
Yeah.
Because they know... Look, he's like almost this... you talked about the final ingredient. There's a sensitivity and a need for self-expression with Havertz. And they all see it in training. They see it in training because there was a bit like when he scored, one of the players like jabbed his finger going, you see, that's it. That's what you do. Mm. He's obviously doing things in training where they're watching going, if we see that, if we bring that to the training ground, to the pitch, to the match day, we're flying. Mm. Veron was like that. When Veron went to Manchester United after that incredible season he had at Lazio, Paul Scholes was like, Veron in training is unbelievable. And they were watching it going, my God, if this man clicks, he's taking us to a different level. And I fully believe this is what it's all about. When Arteta brought him in, he was like, this is a player that can elevate us above and beyond because he gives you something else. He really, really, really does. And people got nostalgic for Granit Xhaka in the early days of the season because Havertz wasn't doing the things that were conspicuously brilliant. And people conveniently forgot how difficult a lot of Xhaka's tenure had been. People were pining for that. But I think that this is not to criticise Xhaka at all. Different team, different configuration. I think Havertz offers Arsenal something different to every other midfielder.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what's so exciting about what I saw tonight. I know it's only like Lens and it was 6-0, but again, let's not forget they beat them at the home leg.
in
the home tie, the home fixture. And what impressed me even more than Havertz's goal, I said this before, was the pressure he put for the second goal.
Yeah.
Closing the ball down, punching into space, getting the key pass. And I was like, yeah, that.
There's a reason Mikel Arteta's been playing him all season.
Yeah. Arteta is patient with the key parts. See the way that Foden came in and out of that team? And he was like, okay. Pep was like, okay, use you for a bit, hold you back. And people like to the point where, Pep, what are you doing? And then everyone just finally saw it.
Mm.
Or you look at like the John Stones transition. John Stones is maybe a better comparison, where Stones bought from Everton for big money and everyone was like, you're meant to be a big name. We don't see it. No one questions it now.
Mm.
But at the time, for a good 2-3 years, everyone was like, no, he's washed. We don't see it. I just think Arteta and Havertz, I think Arteta in his mind is a clear plan for Havertz. And I hope this last month for him is the beginning of something.
So Arsenal finished top of the group. PSV will qualify in second place. It's the first time they've got out of the group stage since 2015.
Mm. Love that.
Sevilla played Lens for, it's basically a Europa League place shootout.
Sevilla in the Europa League. Yeah. Nobody's looking forward to that.
I know, right? So they'll be back in the Champions League next year again.
God.
And I just want to shout out Martin Odegaard's volley again, because it was sick.
Pure technique.
Pure so good.
Technique made flesh.
I talk about technique made flesh. Oh boy, someone is beefing with Okwonga.
Oh no.
Hardcore.
Rodrigo. Rodrigo. I'm not a volume goal scorer. I'll show you volume.
Real Madrid 4, Napoli 2. Simeone put Napoli ahead before Rodrigo went straight up the other end and equalised.
Strange positioning for this, I have to say, from the keeper. But still, Rodrigo had a plenty to do, and my goodness, he did it. He really did it.
He really did. Jude Bellingham has decided to add a little Raul to his game.
Yeah, different player every... We said this, didn't they? Different great every week.
Brilliant header running onto it for the second.
We've called him a Sentinel already, haven't we? You know those in the X-Men, the Sentinel basically has the powers of 12 different superheroes. It just absorbs all the superpowers, and he's done that. The header, I love the Raul comparison you made, because... And there's a goal that Raul scores against, was it Anderlecht, where he angles it back over his shoulder. Mm. And it was this sort of, the way that Bellingham gets aerial and the power he puts on it. It's just, the rate he's scoring at is interesting, because it's his positioning, the way he just jogs into space all the time. He's just always in space. And it feels like we keep expecting this run to end. Oh, he'll have he'll have a goal drought. I don't know if he will actually. I don't know if he's going to have
he probably will.
Yeah, but a drought. But what's a drought? Was it three games without a goal? What is that anymore?
He's played 16 games for Real Madrid, and he's only 10 shy of his entire Dortmund goal scoring record.
I saw a stat from, shout out to the overlap, I saw a stat that he was currently the third best finisher in Europe.
Wow.
Behind only Harry Kane and Guirassy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's wild.
Oh, Bundesliga, man.
Listen.
Farmers League.
That's real heads, no real ones, no. But yeah, so Bellingham with a great header for 2-1. And Giesa took advantage of some poor defending to lash one in the near post. And the celebration from that really showed what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
But then Real got a couple more late on. Goalkeeping error, I have to say, for the third one in at the near post. And then Bellingham with the assist to seal it for Joselu at the far post, and the gorgeous assist for the outside of the right foot. A strength of Bellingham's actually in that sense of looking at defence and just almost like a Luka Doncic in basketball, jogging up the field, taking the game at his speed, and then just picking methodically apart whatever the defence throws at him. Very good win for Real.
Yeah, Napoli point will do it for second place next week against Braga. But waiting behind them, still not, they could still potentially get a Europa League spot if they somehow manage to pull off a home win against Real Madrid next week.
Mm.
Are Union, who went ahead in a game for the first time since October the 7th, when Bonucci scored a penalty away at Dortmund to put them 2-1 up.
I was so happy for Union tonight. I mean, I still could have got the win, maybe should have. You could see how despondent they were at the end.
Mm.
Partly because it meant they were out of the Champions League, which is, it was a great, great adventure. I think.
I mean, especially because Braga were down to 10, Niakate got sent off.
Yeah, they probably should have clinched this. Actually, I thought they did enough to have taken it away. But this is the problem with Union they had this year, the Champions League, just those margins.
Yeah,
I still go back to that point against Real Madrid. They could have clinched. I still think it began there. Actually, they got a point from that.
I think their whole season's different.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, I think we said it on the show.
Yeah, we did. Man. Margins, man.
So, yeah, Robin Gosens put Union ahead in a very Robin Gosens goal. Feels like that's the goal he scored earlier in the season. It was basically the same goal. It's like the only goal he scores. Either that or sliding into the back post where it goes into the roof of the net. So, yeah, Union could still seal a Europa League spot.
Which would be awesome, actually.
Yeah. Let's wrap up on Wednesday's games with Group D. Inter and Real Sociedad were already through.
Mm.
Both games ended in a draw as well in this group. Benfica went 3-0 up against Inter.
Wild.
João Mario opened the scoring, was given offside. It was overruled in VAR, by VAR. So it was given. He scored a second. Aslani gets caught kind of dribbling on his own, the edge of his own penalty box. Crossed in for Mario. Mario hat-trick just after half an hour. And then Antonio Silva got booked for a tackle, which then was then overturned to a red, and then Inter just mad this absolutely wild.
They decided they wanted it. They were like, "Hang on, we're not coming here to lose this."
Yeah. So the great thing is that next week we've got because Real Sociedad drew 0-0 with Salzburg. Whoever wins out of Inter and Real Sociedad next week will top the group, which is I'm all for.
I must say my bias is to Real Sociedad just because they've had such a great group session. I would say as well with Inter, shout out to Alexis Sanchez for waiting as long as he did to convert that penalty. He waited such an age that I was like, oh, can he do this? And I thought, hang on a minute, this is the man that is ice cold in the was the Copa America for Chile. Like, it's that Alexis Sanchez. This man is like his 500th rodeo at this point.
Arnautovic scoring goals for Inter in the Champions League, and Frattesi with the other for Inter.
Yeah.
So a pretty wild comeback, and that was a big, big point for Inter. Let's take a break and then we're going to come back and do Tuesday's games.
Let's do it.
All right, man, there's only one place to start on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that's in Paris. PSG won, Newcastle won. Big talking point from this was obviously
the late penalty.
Mm. But as for the game itself, PSG just absolutely flew out against Newcastle. It felt like they could have been two up inside 10 minutes.
Dude, they missed some good chances.
Some huge chances.
Scuffing them wide at the near post.
Yeah.
That near post had a charmed life.
Oh, God. There was that like Dembele one.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But to be fair, Nick Pope made some really good saves as well. And then Donnarumma, you know, did his goalkeepers in retrograde thing. But do you know what? He kind of does this a lot, I think, Donnarumma. By memory, he has this weird thing. He's such a good goalkeeper.
Mm.
I know he's only young still for a goalkeeper, but in that kind of position, he doesn't quite parry it away from danger enough.
Yes, yes, yes. It should go square, all the way
square.
Yeah,
it needs to go. Yeah. Like gets helped around the post and it's straight back into the path of Isak for the goal. And then it just felt like it was just chance after chance after chance for PSG. There was that Dembele save that then goes up in the air and Mbappe tries that weird overhead kick thing.
Mbappe also tried that weird...
Do you think he's Garnacho? Who do you think you are, Killian?
He also tried that unnecessary finish, the sort of flick through the legs.
Yeah.
Really early on. And I thought that was unnecessary because I thought it could take him to his right foot.
Bit of disrespect for a very weak in Newcastle side. So weak, in fact, that they couldn't...
It wasn't quite as bad as the Rafael Leão back heel in the Champions League earlier in the group stages that basically started a diplomatic incident. I mean, come on. He almost got reported to the UN for that. I mean, it's, you know, but yeah, it wasn't quite as bad as that, but it felt unnecessary. And I saw that and I thought, was this a touch complacent? And even more so after Isak missed the early one and scored the opener. But to PSG's credit, this was as cohesive I'd seen them in attack in quite a while in terms of the chance creation, the quality of chance creation, just the poor finishing. But that will come. Barcola missed a good one as well. I think his one was maybe worse than the, not to sort of name and shame so much, but I thought Barcola maybe snatched at his finish. He missed a good one. I mean, you know, it's not just, you know, margins, but unfortunate finishing. And they were good value for the draw, PSG. And I think it was a penalty. Mbappe,
well, this is the thing, right? So, well, actually, on Barcola, I think he was really good when he came on.
Well, like, this is the totally thing. Changed it was everything but the finish in that case. Yeah.
The penalty shouldn't be a penalty, but it should be a penalty.
Right.
Is spiritually not a penalty at all. It wouldn't be given in the Premier League, obviously, because of the wording in the law about deflecting off another body part in close proximity, which just seems wild in 2023 when we're like, we've got different handball
different interpretations,
laws.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things, actually, that even though it was a horrible decision in terms of, you know, when you're just seeing something, and we've talked about this so many times, I think, with varying decisions since we've started Stadio, when you're looking at something and just being like, how are we here where this is the punishment for that?
We've seen, so I mean, I'll never forget the Rashford penalty actually against PSG, the late one, McTominay's shot that's going high and wide. And it just the margins for error in the Champions League are just so much smaller, I think, in that respect. To Mbappe's credit, like, he still had to score it. And we know that Mbappe in that situation, I mean, actually Mbappe at this point from a penalty spot in a high profile game, at this particular point, hard to think of anyone better, actually, at this point. And it was a great finish. Punched it into the net. It's a 1-1 draw. And Newcastle obviously disappointed, but good value for PSG, I think, there.
Yeah, it was, but I think it's just really hard to take for Newcastle because it's one of those, like, that just shouldn't be a penalty ever. Sure. You know, I know that in the law it's all about, like, you know, making your body bigger and things like that, but it's like, yeah, when you're leaning,
what are you supposed to do?
Balance,
yeah, what are you supposed to do?
Exactly.
What
the hell?
It's like, what are you supposed to do? You can see why it's given, but also, what's the alternative?
Yeah. I mean, it should, it's just, yeah. I mean, do you know what the alternative is, Musa? Scrap it, bend the law.
Or just tape your arms to your sides.
People already like defend with their arms behind their back anyway.
Just fall like an oak barrel.
Newcastle host Milan next week. Dortmund, who we'll talk about in a minute, host PSG. So they're still not out of it. They're level on points with Milan though. So they could either be in the Champions League, in the Europa League, or out of Europe altogether by the end of next week, depending on what their result is and what happens in Dortmund, who were very impressive in Milan.
Wow.
Very, very impressive.
Bynoe-Gittens and Marlon went to work. They went to work.
Jamie Bynoe-Gittens is looking really good, man. I think he might have fully finally broken through properly. But it had a very Stadio start to, or Stadio feel to the opening of this game.
It did.
Olivier Giroud having his penalty saved by Kobel, and then Marco Reus putting away a penalty at the other end. The Milan penalty was given for a handball on Nico Schlotterbeck. Calabria brought down Bynoe-Gittens for the Dortmund penalty.
Bynoe-Gittens absolutely cooked him.
Well, he's so dangerous out there, man. Like, I still think he should have had a penalty in the Gladbach game.
Took him to dance class. He really did.
Yeah, and then an old Stadio favourite, Sammy Chukwueze.
Got
an equaliser for Milan, and it was so good, man. Like, cut inside, basically just absolutely
elite.
Bad elite boy finish. Just
Chukwueze doing work out here, doing work.
Yeah, and then Jamie Bynoe-Gittens getting his second in two games for Dortmund. It was a really lovely goal, this, actually. Yeah. And then Karim Adeyemi with the third.
Adeyemi was a star, obviously, of their campaign last year before the injury.
Yeah, he's looking good as well. Like, he was good.
They've got some good
on.
Pieces, Dortmund, and it's moving. And their Champions League performances, actually, we've said this before, but they've really kind of they've shown their potential, I think, in the Champions League.
Dude, they didn't score a goal in the first two games. They lost 2-0 in Paris, and they drew 0-0 at home to Milan.
It was the Newcastle game. That was the one where I just thought, they're moving. They're showing us something.
Three wins on the bounce and one goal conceded in those. And I can see them getting a result at home.
I love
PSG.
How they've got a taste for the occasion.
Yeah,
this is the really nice thing for Terzic to see. I mean, I know he won the cup with them, and so he knows that he can get the turnout in the big matches. But I think coming off the back of the traumatic defeat, last game of the season, losing the league.
It was a draw in them.
So losing the league against Mainz.
Yeah.
Come off the back of that, to really to show progress. And I know in the league they've had like some iffy results, but at their best, Dortmund have got, they've got something about them.
Still a way to go.
Yeah, for sure. But still. Yeah,
and there've been a lot of questions asked about Terzic. There was a lot of noise through the international break as well. A little leaky dressing room, which isn't something
never a good
you really
sign.
Want.
Yeah.
But yeah, that place will be loud next week. And I think it being against PSG as well, there's always a little extra.
Listen, when Kylian comes to town.
Well, yeah, but I just think because, you know, I mean, do you remember when we were sat there watching that game a few years ago, weren't we, with the amazing Haaland goal?
Yes.
Super tour.
Yes.
And Dortmund just kind of make it a bit gnarly for PSG.
He's my going home,
Westfalen.
Yeah.
Money Mike fumbled the bag a bit, didn't he?
Listen.
Fumbled the bag a bit on that goal.
Incredible. Still love you, Money Mike. Still love you.
I know. Jovic had a header off the post as well in the end, and then Fulkrug off the bar. So it was both goals have taken a bit of a battering.
Fulkrug is such a great name for a metal band. It is, right. Just yeah. Oh yeah, going to see Fulkrug at the weekend. Yeah.
I'm just gonna leave all of that space in afterwards. All right, let's go to Manchester for Group G because Man City looked like they were having a bit of a wobble. Phil Foden said it was the worst they played this season, that first half against Leipzig. Go on.
No, it's fine. I'll take that judgment. I mean, it's his team, so he knows his team better. Can I say, actually, the thing about Phil Foden that's really refreshing, every now and again I check in on the Man City YouTube channel and he's like really direct. Foden like doesn't, and so when he says a thing like that,
Liverpool's
like,
finest.
Yeah, he's real. He's the real deal. Yeah. There was a bit where they were talking about he's got the best first touch at City, and he was like, "Not Kevin. That's not his actual, not as strong. Actually, it's Mahrez." And I was like, "Whoa, wow. you're like really." Foden staying on target. Yeah. So yeah, they went 2-0 down to RB Leipzig.
Two goals for Pender.
Mm.
Did he turn Ruben Dias twice? I think it was Ruben Dias twice, right?
Same guy twice, right? Yeah, okay, it could have been.
Really, like basically very, very similar turns as well. Just kind of spins them, breaks, like bears down on goal. Two really, really good finishes.
Yeah. Haaland doing the Didier Drogba thing. We talk about like Bellingham representing or resembling a great striker, a different great player every week. Haaland was Drogba in this game.
Mm.
Missing a really, really good chance and then just not allowing it to affect his mentality the next time he got a chance. The goal he scored was a gorgeous finish. It's a classic kind of Robbie Fowler style. He gets into his feet and then like scoops it out really fast to the point where the keeper doesn't have time to set his feet and move for it. He started sort of got them on the comeback trail. And Alvarez, it's nice to see Alvarez getting the winner there, to be honest, as well, because Alvarez, as we mentioned, I think in the last podcast, playing this midfield role, like, you know, Alvarez can play as a winger, he can play as a second striker, but we know that he's a nine.
Mm.
And it was great to see him get his moment. And you see from the celebration again just how much he's valued by that team. And I think it was a funny one this game because although City were kind of in cruise control, just given the points that are committed thus far in the group stages, they are grateful for the challenge, actually, because they know, like, you know, as a treble winning team, everyone's coming for them. So as much as Foden might regret some of the performance, I think ultimately they're grateful for the test. Rico Lewis should have got one.
Oh my God. But this was kind of very similar to Man City against Liverpool. They just kept blasting chances over
the bar.
They
did, didn't they?
Yeah, what were they doing?
They did, but they worked it out in the end as they generally do. Yeah,
City were already through.
Mm.
And are now definitely through top.
Yeah,
Leipzig are definitely through second. Young Boys will go into the Europa League after beating Kvarna Zvezda. And so that group is as locked up as you will get.
And as you'd expect as well, that order too.
Mm. Yeah. Couple of final groups to get through. Feyenoord 1, Atleti 3 in Group E. It was a weird own goal from Gudrøyder.
Yeah, it was.
It was like a really weird own goal, right? Hermoso's goal was amazing though.
Oh, that was like a Van Basten volley.
The ball over the shoulder. Lovely.
Gorgeous.
Side
netting.
Max Vifa got one back. And then the Jimenez goal, own goal, sorry, for 3-1. Lazio beat Celtic 2-0. Left it very, very late. Chiro Immobile came off the bench, scored two. Second one in particular was great. So Atletico through with Lazio. They face off next week to decide who goes through top. Final to go into the Europa League, and Celtic are out of Europe altogether. Let's wrap up on Group H. Barcelona beat Porto 2-1 in what I thought was a good game. Mm. Both sides had loads of chances, or felt like they had loads of chances. Porto take the lead after about half an hour. And then literally straight away, João Cancelo goes straight up the other end scores an unbelievable goal.
That was, yeah, extremely special. One of my favourite goals of the round, actually. And
I was like, oh, he's playing left back this time.
Cool. I think we mentioned Cancelo in the extra celebration, but when you're scoring one like that, then no one can really knock you for it.
Yeah, João Felix should have probably made it 2-1 not too long after.
Yeah.
That weird like scuff shot. And then Rafinha missed one just before half time. And then the link up. Cancelo to Felix for the second goal for Barca. And that was good enough.
Two players who are such Barca players, you wonder why it took so long for them to get there.
Mm.
They're just the ultimate Barcelona players. And there's a parallel timeline which they started there a few years ago and just went clear. But yeah.
Yeah.
Good result for Barca.
Yeah, really good. Shakhtar, meanwhile, continue their frankly unbelievable campaign. Now, they beat Royal Antwerp 1-0 and go to Porto next week to decide who goes through second. They need to win, I believe.
Had a long chat with a Ukrainian friend the other day about Shakhtar. Actually, with three Ukrainian friends, two from Kyiv. And I was talking about Shakhtar's energy and how they loved playing Spanish teams in the Champions League. And they actually conceded. They were like, yeah, to be honest, we have a big rivalry with Shakhtar, but like seeing how they handle themselves in Europe, they're like, that is actually the city. Apparently Shakhtar's energy in the Champions League is how Donetsk is as a city. It's like a perfect representation. So yeah, really, really happy for them. They're still in the mix, especially after everything they've gone through in the last, you know.
Playing the home games in Hamburg.
I know, man. The moment. It's wild.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. Actually, I ordered Andy Brassel's book about Shakhtar, which everyone I know who's read it said is absolutely amazing.
It's Brassel, man. Man never misses. Brass don't miss.
Brass don't miss.
No doubt.
Just quickly before we go, did you happen to catch Fulham Wolves on Monday?
I did not.
Oh my God. I think there were four apologies towards Wolves.
No, for the officiating.
Yep.
In my defense, may I say, I was on a train deep in the Central European countryside. They didn't catch the game. Oh, yes.
Right, flex.
Well, listen, someone had to.
I mean, this has been talked about.
Big fallout.
So much since. But yeah, Gary O'Neill was right to be aggrieved. And the thing is, they've been on the end of some horrible decisions this season, Wolves. I know a lot of people have, but I don't think anyone has as much as Wolves. Mm. Wrong end of some penalty decisions that shouldn't have been given. Tim Ream should have been sent off for a second bookable offence for a penalty and wasn't, and afterwards they said he should have been. Vinicius should have been sent off for a headbutt but was only given a yellow because apparently it was a soft headbutt.
I just think there are some footballers who would never get away with a soft headbutt.
No.
Granit Xhaka does not get away with a soft headbutt.
Yeah.
There's a whole 11 of footballers who don't get away with anything. Like, they've literally never dodged a fair in 20 years, and they dodge a fair once and they just get hammered for it. I just think there are some players that don't get it. They've got like naughty expressions, whereas others, we shout a name because otherwise our listeners will come for us. Some players get away with more than their shit.
Well, Casemiro used to. This is famous what this is. No. Like, listen, no, we talked about this.
It had just died down.
Everyone's like, oh my God, are Casemiro's legs gone? No, his form just fell off a cliff when he started getting caught for it. That's
why,
it.
Why have you opened that box again?
Because it's true. We all know what this is.
They're going to come for us.
No, they're not. Who are?
I just like saying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just true, man. It's just true. I think that's actually it. Casemiro is physically fine. He just can't deal with the fact that he keeps getting sent off where he got away with it for years.
But I have some sympathy because if you've learned a certain style of like play and the grey area and how to work, you know, I have some sympathy even for like for defenders that used to indulge in, you know, like nudges off the ball and stuff because that was just part of the game, part of the intimidation we could get away with. And then now VAR catches everything.
Speed cameras, man.
And an essential element of the game, which wasn't violent, but it was on the edge. It was never violent, but it was like, you know, shielding players, like barging here and there, angling your body in certain places, which is part of like just smart streetwise defending. and you just didn't go at that now. That's the tough part.
Well, on that note, I hope they work it out. I hope they work it out because we're playing out on North and Clyburn. We're going to work it out, the Mr. Fingers mix.
Ah, nice segue.
Thanks very much. I made it myself. Don't forget, go follow Stadio Football on Instagram if you want to see some stuff from the Hamburg Derby on Friday night. Go check Wrighty's house. I think Cameron
really took, to that. Yeah.
Took today off, but they'll be back next week. And keep the Spotify raps coming.
Yes.
If you're into that kind of thing, it's very, very cool to see them all.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And thanks again for everyone who's been tagging us in them. Go check the Stadio Outros playlist on Spotify with all of the tunes we play out on each episode, including this one, like we mentioned. And anything you would like to add to Moose Talk Bomber?
Nothing further.
All right, everyone. Have a lovely, lovely weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday.
See you then. Dump the bass. Work it out. 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 Work it out.